All right. I apologize in advance for all the bread allusions in my sermon today. So for those of you with gluten allergies, I'm sorry. But we've now lived in Virginia for about 16 months, and there's still a few things I miss about Minnesota. One of the things at the top of the list is this place called Butter Bakery. Yes, it's as good as it sounds. It was four blocks from my last church, and Butter Bakery was owned by a Lutheran. Dan had actually served in Lutheran Volunteer Corps in D.C., in the 70s, and so he was committed to sustainability and social justice. And so Butter Bakery sourced as many ingredients as possible from local farms. And some of the things that they served in their cafe was from the Boulevard Garden right outside of the bakery. Butter Bakery also shared their building with an apartment complex that lived on top. And this apartment building was dedicated to teens who were homeless. And so Dan offered them job training in the bakery as a partnership with Beacon Interfaith Housing. And so this was a magical little spot, not just because of their values, but also because it tasted amazing. Dan made cream puffs. He served fair trade coffee. He always had four different kinds of scones, and they were like this big. And then something Dan started during the pandemic was a bread CSA. And so every Wednesday after a day at the church, I would stop by Butter Bakery and pick up a loaf of bread. And each week it was different. In the midst of an incredible crappy pandemic, Dan opened our kitchen table to this wide, wonderful world of bread that I didn't even know existed. Asiago spicy cheese bread, a dark chocolate loaf with Calabo chocolate chips, cranberry walnut twisted buns, challah, ciabatta rolls, cornbread, Ethiopian spiced honey rolls, rosemary focaccia, pizza dough, and the Valenti's favorite, cardamom cinnamon swirl whole wheat. Are you hungry yet? The gifts of these bread was not just the physical carb load, but it was also the element of surprise. I never knew what I was picking up. And this twist helped enliven our meal planning with a meal that we had not envisioned. When we got ciabatta rolls, we would do burgers. When we had challah, we would make French toast. Focaccia, we all of a sudden were excited about soup in the middle of summer. Pizza dough, well, you can guess, pizza, right? But all of a sudden, Wednesday night became the best night of the week. Dinner just felt a little more exciting and a little more joyful because of bread. And I think this is one of the reasons Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Because bread is so relatable. It's so central for so many. Almost every culture has some sort of bread or grain staple in their diet. Bagels and pita and bao steamed buns. Bagels and pretzels and arepas. Naan and injera, tortillas. Rice cakes and crackers. Just walk across the footbridge after church today, and soon your nose will be in contact with the fried battery goodness of something carby, right? Even if it's deep-fried Oreos. Despite nutritionists' warnings and so many dietitians out there, we just have not been able to get rid of the yeasty goodness of bread. For bread is life. And so here Jesus says for the third week in a row, I am the bread of life. And this week he expands on the image and things get a little weird. For sometimes words are just not enough. And so Jesus tells the crowd, you need to actually eat and consume this bread of life. eat my flesh, drink my blood. Now, it might not strike us as funny for most of us in the Christian world because we, you know, we do this thing called communion every week. But this is a really weird thing to tell people to do. One commentary reminded me that first, eating flesh and drinking blood, well, kind of sounds like cannibalism, right? Second, Jewish law prohibited the consumption of blood. Blood was this mysterious carrier of life, and so it wasn't kosher to eat blood. Finally, Jesus' invitation to eat his flesh and drink his blood sounds like an allusion to the Greco-Roman mystery practice of theophagy, where worshipers would symbolically consume a god in order to acquire some of their power. Lots of things going on here. But Jesus knew that sometimes experience matters. There's only so much you can say or speak about an experience before you just have to invite them to experience it for themselves. Jesus, the bread of life, does not give us life by arguing theology with us. He's happy to talk as much as we need to, but argument and rhetoric is not going to sustain us in the end. We need the whole, messy, crumbly, embodied experience. We need to be able to chew on this. We need to see the steam rise off of the loaf, to feel the texture under our teeth, to appreciate the flavor that changes as we chew, to feel our hunger subside and our body strengthened. Embodiment matters. It matters to God because God showed up in the flesh of Jesus for us. And embodiment matters to us too. And here in this text, Jesus invites his listeners to a direct physical experience. For every time we break this bread and drink this wine, Jesus promises to show up for us. And as my Lutheran professor used to remind us, don't ask me mathematical questions. We don't know how Jesus shows up in the bread. We just know that he promises to do so. That he's promising to be here with us. This morning, as I mentioned earlier, I like to think about communion as a party. And usually for a party, there's a lot of prep work, right? Invitations and RSVPs. There's toilets to clean and clutter to hide in closets. And you get the vacuum out with the third attachment to get all those, like, nooks and crannies. Even if you're attending as a guest, you bring flowers or wine or a gift of some sort. You mentally prepare to be witty and funny and helpful. You need a little extra time to plan that outfit. And yet the party that Lady Wisdom invites us to is different than anything we've ever experienced before. For she has prepped all the food, aerated all the wine, the cheese platter is overflowing, and the cake is in the oven. The table is set. And yet notice, you do not need a gold embossed invite to get in. There is no VIP guest list, no seating arrangement or dress code, no hostess thank you gift required. Lady Wisdom says, you who are simple, come. Those without any sense, come and eat. We are invited to God's party as our disheveled, smelly, anxious hearts and tired brained selves. And here God invites us to dine. There is a place for you and your weary bones. Here we are invited to the art of a long meal. We can take as much time as we need to chew and digest. There's no need to hurry, for God shows up to something that is familiar and sacred, ordinary, global, and ancient. Bread. Surprising and familiar, savory and sweet, flat, round, or twisted. Bread that is broken for us and meant to be shared. Now, I think about Dan of Butter Bakery widening the Valenti's kitchen table during the pandemic with that beautiful imagination and the wonder of the world of bread. And it reminds me of this foretaste of the feast to come. For yes, we could have just had mac and cheese and hot dogs for the 100th time. But thanks to Dan, we get this loaf of spicy cheese bread, and then we're like, oh, we have tomatoes in our garden and bacon in the fridge, and we can make BLTs tonight. Butter Bakery gave us permission in the midst of this awful, terrible time to dream, to get a little festive, even with just dinner. And communion has that ability too. For each week when we come to communion, we are given the opportunity to visualize this banquet, to dream this big dream of God's party table, where no one is turned away, where every hunger is satisfied, where everyone feels safe and loved, and where the taste combinations are flavorful and exciting. In communion, we remember that someday there will be this giant feast, and everyone will be there. Our loved ones who have died, who we miss, every saint and sinner, even creation is invited to this table, giant squids and dogs. And this is the feast we get to look forward to. But in the meantime, we chew on Jesus every week, and we're invited to partner with God to help make this feast a little more of a reality. To bring this wild imagination, spicy, savory sweetness to the world around us. And so, dear ones, hear these words of promise for you. For Lady Wisdom has set the table. Come and dine. Amen. Thanks be to God.